So let's take it to the beginning of the parak, which is Yigimam Beis. Yesh Be'erchen. Anyone start that yet? Or should we do that? Yeah, we're good? We got past that. Should we go to Yudalad then? Should we go to Yudalad? Everyone got the Yudalad? No, I'm okay.
I got to Yudalad. Where did everybody go?
That's the Yudalad. I also did.
I got to the Mishnah.
Okay, there we go. Beautiful. Okay, today we'll start. I'll catch up. Okay, it's a long daf today. It's an easy part. So let's start on Yudalad. I'm off. The Mishnah begins on the top, around 10 lines down or so. B'steachuza lahakel lahachmir. So when it comes to steachuza, the Mishnah had told us in the beginning of the parak that there's certain things that are lachumra, certain things that are lakula. So when it comes to steachuza, there's certain things that are lachumra, certain things that are lakula. What does that mean? So before we even go vayta, it's important to know we're going to spend a lot of time throughout the Masechta on what a steachuza is, what a steachmakna is. A steachuza is a field that a person has as part of their heritage, that they inherit it from their father to the child and so on. So that's called a steachuza. And a steachmakna is something that you buy from someone else's property. When it comes to the Yovel year, that goes back to the original owner. So that's a steachuza versus a steachmakna. So now there's a difference in terms of when a person's makdish a property. If a person's makdish a steachuza, so then he wants to be poda that field. So the pasuk tells us there's a set amount of how much you pay per. I'm just using square footage, whatever the area might be. For every area, you pay a set amount regardless of how valuable that sada might be. That's the steachuza. And if it's the baal hasada, if the owner of the steachuza is the one who's redeeming it, not someone else, then you have to pay an additional chomesh on top of the value. Now, if let's say a person buys a property, it's called a steachmakna. I buy it from someone else. And then I makdish it. So then the din is, if I want to redeem it, I redeem it based on the actual market value, not a set price per area. That's the basic difference between a steachuza and steachmakna. Now, when it comes to steachuza, let's say steachuza comes Yovel year, and Yovel comes after it's been, let's say, no one was poded. So I makdish my steachuza. And I wasn't poded, no one was poded. Yovel comes, so then Yovel actually doesn't bring it back to Steachuza, to the owner. It brings the Steachuza, goes to the Kohanim if a Steachuza wasn't redeemed. Again, if a Steachuza was sanctified and it wasn't redeemed, Yovel gives it off to the Kohanim. But a Steachmakna, if a person bought a property from someone else and he was makdish it, and then he didn't redeem it, Yovel actually sends it back to the original owner. So a lot of differences here. We'll hopefully get a lot more familiar with this as we go through the Masechta. So the Mishnah again says, "B'steachuza halacha lahachmir keitza." What does that mean? Echad amakdish becholas amechuza, echad amakdish bepardesos savsati. Whether or not you're being makdish a property, it's cholas amechuz. Rashi says cholas amechuz is the area outside of a vineyard where people trample on and step all over, which has very little value because people are stepping on it. It's paths, and that's very little value. Or pardes, some type of orchard, which is very valuable. Regardless of how valuable the property might be, the Mishnah says that no sein zera chomer seorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Every area which is defined by zera chomer seorim, that acre, that area, that square footage, it's at 50 shekel per each area. So the way it works is, if you look at Rashi for a second here, Rashi says b'beis zera chomer seorim, that area that could produce barley of that size, it's chamishim shekel kesef. So if I'm, let's say, I'm makdish my steachuza, and it's the first year of Yova, I want to be podet, so I pay 50 shekel. But let's say it's 10 years into Yovel. So the price goes down, it's cheaper as it gets closer to Yovel. So the end of Rashi points out that there's a sela umpundayon, a sela and a little bit more change, like a dollar and 10 cents per year, is the value as it decreases as it goes on. We're going to get to figure out how we got that number. But again, it's 50 shekel per square footage of a full Yovel year. And as you would redeem it later into the Yovel, you detract a sela upundayon per year into Yovel. So that's a set price. No matter how valuable your land might be, that's a set price per square footage. Now, if it's two areas of a zera chomer seorim, you pay 100 shekel. And if it's three areas of that, you pay 150 and so on. So then the Mishnah says, "Ubestemakne nosin es shavya." When it comes to a stemakne, if I buy land from you and I makdish it and then I want to redeem it, so the din is I pay the actual market value. Only by a steachuza is it a set price, but by a stemakne it's a market value. Comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Omer echad stade makne echad steachuza. They're both cases you pay the set price of the chamishim shekel kesef per zera chomer seorim, even by the case of stemakne. So what's the difference according to Rabbi Eliezer between a stay machna and achuza? So Mishnah explains ma bein stay achuza le stay machna. She b'stay achuza who knows ain chomesh, who b'stay machna ain knows ain chomesh. There's a chomesh, there's a fifth. A additional fifth one pays for a steachuza. If the Baal, if I'm redeeming my own steachuza, I pay an additional fifth. But by a steachna, the Gemara is going to explain there is no additional fifth that's paid when redeeming it, redeeming a steachna. So this is a very important machlokus in the Mishnah. So Gemara explains, Amar of Huna, hiktish sade melea ilanos. Let's say I've got a field that's full of trees, a forest. I'm being makdish my forest, and I want to redeem it. Kishu poden, when you redeem the forest, Poda ilanos bishavya. First, you redeem the trees as independent of the property. You redeem the trees as the value, the market value of the trees, and then choser poda karka. And then you look at the land itself. Bases erachomer sorim b'chamishim shekel kesef. Meaning, this whole evaluation of chamishim shekel kesef per footage is only on the land itself. It's not on the trees. So the trees, I'm makdish my property with the trees. The trees are also kadosh. So how do I extract the kedusha? How do I redeem the tree, the kedusha? I need to take the market value of the trees. So first you're poda the market value of the trees, and then you're poda the karka based on this table of chamishim shekel kesef per area. So Alma, we see from here, says the Gemara, kesavar Rav Huna, odem makdish b'ayin yofi makdish. When a person is makdish a property, he's makdish b'ayin yofi. He's very generous. He wants to give. Being makdish a property, it doesn't do anything. There's no value to the property that anyone could use from. It's pretty much a way of springboarding. It's being b'chai myself to pay kedusha, to pay money to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the ultimate goal. I'm using this in order to give money to the Beis HaMikdash. So when a person was very generous to help the Beis HaMikdash, he was generous b'ayin yafeh. So we're trying to take the highest amount of money we could produce out of, we could squeeze out of this guy to give the Beis HaMikdash. So in addition to the karka, he also has to pay the value of the trees on the property. That's the understanding of Rav Huna. So Gemara says, Eisive Rav Nachman, the Rav Huna. Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna Shita. He quotes from the Mishnah, Echad Amakdish Becholos Amachuz, Echad Amakdish Bepardesos, Savsati, Nosen Beis Zerah Chomers Orem, Bechamishim Shekel Kesef. Our Mishnah clearly says, regardless of the value, regardless of what's growing on the field, even if it's Pardesos, full of orchards of orange trees and whatever else grows, date trees, you pay the set amount, 50 Shekel Kesef. So clearly a person isn't Makdish Ayin Yafeh. You don't have to pay a separate pigeon on the Ilanos in addition to the Karka. Every area of land, no matter what's on top of it, you pay a Chamishim Shekel Kesef. So this clearly goes against Rav Huna. So Rav Huna responds back, Amalei, Ru'uya Lipardesos Kamina. No, our Mishnah is talking about very fertile land. The land is very rich. Not that there's actual trees or orchards growing on it. Even if the land and dirt is very rich, whereby it has the potential to grow pardesos, so then we say even then it's 50 shekel kesef. But if there's actual trees on that property, the Mishnah would agree you'd have to pay a separate pidyon of the trees themselves. So Gemara asks another question. Eisive quotes from a medrash. It says, base zera. The pasuk says, the person's makdish is steachuza, he pays a base zera. Where's the line here? Doesn't actually base there in the pasuk. It says zera chomer saorim bechamishim shekel kesef. So we say only for any other base there. I only know an area that you're able to seed. Stay a gafanim if it's able to have grapes there. Stay konim grow reeds. Stay lanos trees. Minayin, how do I know that it has the same exact calculation of chamishim shekel kesef? Tamalomer, it says in the pasuk sada mikomakom. No matter what type of item is growing in the sada, you have to go to pay 50 shekel kesef per area. So we see from this brisa clearly we don't care what's actually on top of the field as long as they saw there. And the Gemara says, no, here as well, Amalei, it's a hachanami poda v'chozer upoda. It's talking about separate pidyonos, separate redemptions. First you redeem the trees, and then after redeeming the trees, no matter whether it's a sadeh gefen, a stay zera, stay konim, stay lanos, the property itself has the same exact value, at least the gabi erchin, as any other type of sadeh. But in hachanami, you would have to pay separately for the trees. Gemara now asks further, Eisivei. Hikdish shlosh ilanos mimate asara lebeis sa. Let's say you're makdish three trees, that's among 10 trees in a certain area. So you have 10 trees in this whatever area they might be, and I'm makdish three of these 10 trees. The din is hareze hikdish esakarka ves ailanos shebeneim. When I'm makdish such an area, not only are the trees hikdish, but even the property in between these three trees are hikdish as well. And kishu podu, when I redeem this property, I'm podu beis zera chomer sa'orim b'chamishim shekel kesef. I have to look at the area and 50 shekel kesef for every chomer sa'orim area. So pachas mikain, let's say it's less than that. Let's say I'm planting less than 10. It's not a field of 10 trees. Or it's a field that's more than 10 trees. If the ratio is different, so then when I'm makdish the trees, I'm only makdish the trees. I'm not makdish the property. How that works exactly, I'm not sure. But it has to be dafka 3 to 10 for you to be makdish not only the trees, but even the karka in between. So then the Mishnah says further, the Brisa says further, we're going to get the question momentarily. Let's say, oh, shekdishin b'zachar. Let's say, makdish them separately. I makdish first the trees, and that meaning each tree individually. I don't say the three trees as a unit. I say, I makdish tree A, I makdish tree B, I makdish tree C. In that instance as well, the din is you're not makdish your property. So these are different areas where the kark in between isn't hektish. But in the case where you are makdish all three together, so then even the karka is going to be hektish. Not only that, says the Brisa, elafilu hektish ilanosov, acharka hektish karka, and if I'm makdish, let's say the trees first, and then I'm makdish the property afterwards, kishu poda, poda se ilanos b'shavyan v'choze poda karka bezer chomer sa'orim b'shekel kesef. So if I separate them, if I makdish them separately, so here as well, I would be poda the trees first for its value, and then afterwards I would redeem the karka. What comes out from this, however, in the first instance, though, when you're makdish the trees and property together, the Mishnah clearly said you only have to pay a chamishim b'shekel kesef. You don't have to separate them. You don't have to pay the trees first and then the karka. Only if I makdish them separately, first the trees and then the karka, I pay each individually. But if I'm going to makdish them as a unit, b'vas achas, I only pay the chamishim shekel. I don't do poda chozer upoda. And the chitame, if you're going to tell me hachanami poda chozer poda, no, even the rice in the beginning when it says makdish all three bebas achas, I first poda the trees and then for poda the karka, that can't be the case because hamid the sefer, from the fact that the sefer clearly says when I makdish karka separately from the ilanos, that's when I'm poda chozer poda. That clearly implies mechlal de reishalol. When the reish says I'm poda chamishum shekel kasef, it's not a case of poda chozer poda. Ella. Hamani, who authored this brisa, must be none other than Rabbi Shun, he damer makdish bain ra makdish. This is a different brisa. We've been talking up until now, a guy, the assumption is, when a guy's makdish, is he bain yafe, generous, or is he stingy, ayin ra? So we've been assuming ayin yafe. So in the world of ayin yafe, so we do hold, you have to be pulled to the trees first, and pulled to the karka, but this is the position of Rabbi Shun, who's ayin ra, guy's very stingy, so we do the smallest amount, which is going to be only the karka, the chamishim shekel kesef, and the trees are lumped together in that. We don't care for Rabbi Shun for our understanding of the Gemara. How do we see Rabbi Shun holds bain ra, makdish? The Sani, the Brisa teaches us that hamakdish es asade, hikdish es kula. A guy's makdish is property, the entire property is going to be hakdish. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no. Lo hikdish ela charev hamurka v'sadhan hashikma. He's only makdish his old trees and his weak trees. Those are really worthless. He doesn't care for it. He's only makdish that property. But to say a guy's makdish his entire field, Rabbi Shimon says, no way, because a guy is makdish bain ra, makdish. So Gemara says, now if we're establishing that this long rice is really Rabbi Shimon, ni Rabbi Shimon, Ema Seifa. When the Seifa says, lo, oh, not only that, but Ela Fidlo Hiktish Ilanos, the guy's first, he's makdish his trees. And then Acharkach Hiktish Karka, he's makdish his karka afterwards, Kishu Poda, he's Poda Seilanos Bishaviyahin, first he's Poda the trees with its market value, and then he's Choser Poda the Karka as Beis Zerah Chomer Sor Mechamishim Shekel Kesef. Now if this is really Rabbi Shimon, he, Lizel Basar Pidyon, the Parke Agav Arayu. So why does he have to have two separate pidyonas, one of the trees and one of the karka? According to Rabbi Shimon, we're about to see that he goes based on the basar pidyon. So even though I'm makdish both separately, lemaisa, in the end of the day, you go b'shas pidyon, and shas pidyon, both the trees and karka hektish, I am able to lump together, because shas pidyon, they're both hektish, I should be able to lump the trees together with the karka, and not have to do a podechozer pidyon. Because we see in general, dehash shamino leili Rabbi Shimon elsewhere, de'azel basar pidyon, you follow the shas pidyon, what's the current state when you're trying to redeem it? This sanya, how do we see this? Minayin, this is a different tesugya. The minayin, how do I know? Lilokeach sadem yaviv. Let's say a guy buys his father's property. So remember that when, let's say, Reuven buys Yaakov's property. Yaakov's the father, Reuven's the son. Reuven buys Yaakov's property. But Yaakov's property is eventually going to be Reuven's. When Yaakov dies, Reuven's going to own it as a state achuzah. But Reuven didn't want to wait. So he bought the property from his father now. And after he buys the property from his father, Hikdesha, Reuven the son is makdish the property. Now Yaakov dies. So now Reuven has a stay makna that he bought, his makdish it. But now that his father dies, does that stay makna that was now Hikdesh, does that turn into a stay achuza? Because now he's supposed to be Yorish, his father's property. So the din is, Minayin Shetei Alefanav that even though he bought it, and even though he makdish it, it now, I'm not sure retroactively, but it becomes a stei achuza now that his father dies. How do I know that din is true? Tamalomar v'mesaste miknaso asher lo mistei achuzaso. So, sadesh eina ruya liyo stei achuza. So when do we say a stei makna? A stei miknaso is only if it can't be a stei achuza. But if something can be a stei achuza, like the guy buys a property from his father, which means it's going to be a stei achuza. So yatzazu shiru uyelio stei achuza. So only if it's a stei makna, it's only if I buy a property that I'll never own, that I'll never be yorish. That's called a stei makna. If I buy a property that will at some point become a stei achuza to me, meaning my father's property, that is not a stei makna. That's called a stei achuza. That's divrei Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon. Okay. One second here. So this proves to us that we go based on Shas Pidyon, because Shas Pidyon, now that he's trying to redeem the property, since now his father died, we view this as a stei achuza. I mean, even though the moment he was makdish it, it wasn't a stei achuza yet because his father was alive, it was stei makna, but Shas Pidyon, that his father is dead, it's a stei achuza, so we go based on Shas Pidyon. So that's where the Gemara is going to continue now. We are not going to bring it back just yet. Rabbi Meir argues on this din of a guy who buys a property in Makdish and his father dies. Rabbi Meir, Omer, no. Minayin lelokech sadeh me'aviv. How do I know if a Reuven buys a property from his father Yaakov? Umeis aviv, and then Yaakov dies. And achakach hekdesh. In this case, he's only Makdish it after the father dies in this instance. How do I know minayin shetei lefanav k'stei achuza? So in this case, when he buys it first, and then his father dies, he becomes a stei achuza. And then when he's makdish it as a stei achuza. Tamalomar imes zdei miknaso ashelo mstei achuzaso. A sade makne is only if it's not a stei achuza. Sade sheino stei achuza right now. But yatzuzu, but this case, his father already died, sheyehei stei achuza, it is a stei achuza. But Remeir would hold, if you buy a property from the father, then you're makdish it, and then the father dies, that's a stei makna. Because you go based on shas hekdish, not shas pidyon according to Rabbi Shimon. Fine, so that's the raisa. So bring it back to our case now. But ilo le Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, according to them, afilo hekdisha v'charkach meis aviv, even if the son is makdish a property first, and then his father dies, it becomes a stei achuza havya. It's a stei achuza. Why? My time. What's the reason? Imi shemekrav, it's pasuk a pasuk. You can't say that because krav lechad Rabbi Meir hudasa. The pasuk clearly supports Rabbi Meir's dissenting opinion. El lav is not because mishum the azar basa pidyon. And when he's trying to be pulled it, his father is currently dead, so it's called a stei achuza. So just like he says, go basa pidyon. By the case of ilanos and karka, if you're makdish ilanos separately and a karka separately, since shas pidyon, they're both hektish, you should be able to pull to them all in one shot. So Rabbi Shimon can't be the author of the brayse. I know it's very confusing, but the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, no. It's not based on the svara of Azar Basa Pidyon. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon also hold of a pasuk. It's based on the Gzeres HaKasav. Kra Ashkechu V'Darsh. They found the pasuk and they darshened it. What was the pasuk? It says in the pasuk, V'mes Sistei Miknaso Asher Lo Mistei Achuzaso Yakdish Lashem. Im Kein, it should say, Licht Rachmana Im Estei Miknaso Asher Lo Achuzaso. We know we're talking about a field. Why did it repeat the word Sadeh again? My Misadeh. Tell me a sada she'ain ruya liyo stei achuza, a sign that's never fit to be a sada, yatz in this case, that even though it may not be a stei achuza now, but since it's ruya to become a stei achuza when he buys it, that's enough to not considered a stem akna. So a very confusing discussion here. We're going to learn later on in like the daf chav dal chafei, it goes on to this brayso a little bit deeper. Machlokas, whether the case of the father dying, the son inheriting it, how the case exactly works. But at least for our situation, Rabbi Shimon holds we don't go basar shas pidyon. It's exasakosav, in which case he can be the author of that brayso, that when a person is a makdish property, it's ayinu ra'a makdish, as opposed to the first opinion, it was Ayin Yafe Pidyon, Makdish. Okay. The new Gemara tells us now, Amr Apapa, the two dots, Amr Apapa, Apapa, tells us, Hikdish Tarshan. What is a Trushan? Trushan are rocks that you can't grow anything on it. So the guy's Makdish is Trushan. Podin Bishavyan, you redeem it based on the value, you don't based on Chomer Sorum. Why don't you do Chamishim Shekel Kesef? Isn't my rocks, aren't they property? The Gemara says, my time, base zera merachmana, only thing that could grow things, v'hani la b'nei zriya ninu, therefore you don't go based on the chamishim shekel kesev, you go based on the actual value. Lo galon, let's say the guy who's makdish the rocks, he didn't redeem it, so the din is, so the gizbar decided to sell it to some other guy because the base of makdish needs some funds. So the way it works is first, if I'm makdish my property, the gizbar says, listen, are you going to redeem it? And I said, I'm not redeeming it. Go to someone else. So he redeemed it. Someone else pays for that property. That some other guy pays the money, the base of Migdash, and he gets access to the rocks now. So what's the din? Yotzin b'yovel. The din is these rocks that when they go out during Yovel, they go out to the Kohanim, like any other Steachuzah. Any other Steachuzah that I'm Makdish, and I don't redeem it, someone else redeems it, Yovel sends it to the Kohanim, not to me. So my time, how come the rocks follow the regular case of a Steachuzah? Above we said it's not called a Steachuzah, because there's no Zerach Omer Sorim. But here we're saying it is a Steachuzah, that when someone else redeems it, the Kohanim get it. My time, because the Pasuk says, Sada Amar Achmana. It says, V'haya Sada B'tzeis B'yovel, L'kohen T'yeh B'achuzaso, and koldu, any sada. So this is a sada. It's not a zera sada, but it's a sada. So for the purposes of a chamishim shekel, you need a zera. So this isn't zera. For the purpose of a yotzei lekohen during yovel, all you need is a sada, and this is a sada. It's a sada, but not a zera sada. That's the difference. Gemara now says further, it says in the pasuk, machar, first the case of machar trushin, you sell these rocks to your friend. And then the din is nigalin, so a person, the lokeh could always buy it back. Now, it wasn't makdish. I just sold my property. I needed to have some liquid cash. I sold my property. So there's certain halachas of when I'm allowed to redeem it back within 2 years, not within 2 years. So let's say I sell racks to my friend. And now I want to redeem. I want to buy it back from him. I have the right to buy it back. However, normally I need to wait at least 2 years, 2 years to buy back. But here, by the racks, Pachos Mishteshem, I'm allowed to redeem it, buy back even within 2 years. This is an exception. Why? My time. The Mispar Shnei Tvuos. The only time you have to wait 2 years and when it's something that produces Tvua, you need to give the guy 2 years before buying back the property. Amar Rachmana. But this case of rocks, which are Lavanei Tvuin, you know, they don't produce any grains, therefore I don't have to wait the 2 year period. I could buy it back immediately if I wanted. Let's say Lo Golem. Let's say I didn't buy it back. Let's say the initial owner didn't buy it back. So the din is, it's chozeres lebailim b'yovel. If I sell my property, my steachuzah to Reuven, and I don't have the chance to buy it back, so yovel comes, I get my property back. Not a case of hektish, just a regular sale, I get it back. Let's say I didn't have a chance to buy back my rocks that I sold you, the property that's full of rocks. This too, I'm able to be chozer and get it back during yovel. My taima, the shav l'achuzah, so it should return back to the achuzah, amar achmana, v'hai nami achuzah. This is an achuzah, this is considered a property. So even though it's not tevuah, so the 2 year grace period, that's by tevuah. So this is not bechlal tevuah, so not bechlal shtei shanim. But in terms of the din of chozeres l'bailim b'yovel, this is called the shav l'achuzah, so it's called an achuzah. So it is an achuzah, but it's not tevuah, and therefore there's a chilek and dinim when selling a property that are full of slum, full of rocks. Then the Gemara says, "Vayter hikdish ilanos." Let's say a guy has trees in his property, and makdish the trees without any karka. So then the din is on poda b'shavion. I have to redeem it, like we said before, that the redeem of redeeming chamishum shakal kasev is only on karka, not on trees. So I redeem the trees for the value. My taima, because base zera amar achmana velo ilanos. Only that which grows from the ground, that's zera, that's seeds, but trees are different din. That's called, the trees are not called zera, and therefore you don't have to go based on chamishum shakal kasev, you go based on actual value. Then the Gemara says, Lo Golem, let's say I makdish my trees, I don't redeem it, and the Gizbar sells to some other party to buy it, The din is ein yotzin lekohanim b'yovel. In this case, normally, even though normally by other steachuza, if the owner doesn't redeem it, so yovel send it to the kohanim. By ilanos, yovel send it back to the initial owner. Why? Because it says in the pasuk only hayav hasadeh amarachmanim. And only a sadeh goes to a kohen. But lo ilanos, trees go back to the original owner. Let's say mach ilanos. Let's say I sold the trees to my friend. So the din is ain negalim pachas mishtei shanim. I have to wait the 2-year grace period, just like by a sadeh. The same thing by ilanos. Why my time? And why do I have to wait 2 years? Because trees do fall under the category of shnei tvosam rachmanim. The pasuk has 2 years of letting the grains grow. I can't buy it back from the lokeach. And honey b'nei tvos ninu, trees are called tvua. They're called grains. They're called things that grow and crop. And therefore, I can't buy it back within 2 years. Lo galim, let's say I don't buy it back by trees. I don't buy it back from the lokeach. And the yovel comes. So even though normally a sadeh goes back to the initial owner if I didn't buy it back, this case, eino chozeres lebailim b'yovel. By trees, it wouldn't go back. My time, v'shav l'achuzaso amrachmana v'lo ilanos. Only that which is a chuzah, property that stays forever, but trees don't stay forever, and therefore trees are not called an achuzah. It's not called everlasting, and therefore it doesn't go back during yovel. So we see there are a number of different chilukim between ilanos and sada, based on being makdish them, based on selling them. So too, when it comes to selling rocks, there's a different dinim in the gula, the hektish of them as well.
So who gets the trees now at the end?
Say again?
If you don't redeem the trees, so who gets them?
They go get the trees, who gets them in the end? The owner, the guy who bought it. The one who buys it, keeps it through Yovel. Okay. Now the Gemara says, according to something we said above, Amar Mar, a person's hikdish ilanos, guy's makdish trees, he's poda bishavin. He has to redeem them for the market value. Amai, why is that the case? V'liktishu agav arayu. So why don't we say that the trees become kadosh, based on the property? U'lifirku agav arayu. And be poda based on the property. V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, no, I'm makdish my ilanos akdish, arilo akdish. I'm only proper. I'm only being makdish my trees, but not the land that's below it. So Gemara says, v'hamri nehardai. Didn't we learn it from the Hardai people? Man de mizavin le dikla l'chavre. A guy sells a date tree to his friend. Kane le, the lokeach, buys not only the tree, but mishipula v'atoma, from the very shallow part of the ground to the depths of the ground. It goes all the way through. So every time you buy a tree, it's going to be going through the karka below it. So here as well, when it comes to the makdish, or makdish a tree, am I not makdish the karka below it as well? So shouldn't I just be pode the whole unit together, the tree plus the karka? Why just the tree separately? So Gemara says, no. Lav mi yitmar la, do we not already say on that statement of Nehardai, we qualified saying, Biba machmas taina. It's only a situation where the guy claimed that when the guy sold it to me, he mentioned the tree plus the karka. But had he not mentioned the karka, he just said ilanos, even Nehardai would agree, only the tree is sold, not the property below it. So here as well, I'm makdish my ilanos, if I don't mention the word karka, it means just the ilanos and not the karka below it. Gemara now says further, quotes from the Mishnah, it says, stay makne, nosin shavyas. When it comes to being makdish, a person's stay makne, so you redeem it. The Rabbanan felt that if it's stay makne, you do market value. And Rebbe Elazar argued, said, no, even by a stay makne, you pay the 50 shekel kesef per the area. So Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa comes, explains the machlokas here. It says in the pasuk by the field, by a stay makne, it says, v'chishav lo ha-kohen es michsas ha-erkecha ad shnas ha-yovel. The kohen should evaluate the value of the property until the yovel. So the word michsas, ma balumon. What do we learn from the word michsas? Michsa means like a sum of everything, the aggregate of everything. So what's learned from this word? The fishin emar, since it says, zerachomis orim b'chamishim shekel kesev, yachal af sadeh makne kein. One might think you have to go with the 50 shekel per area, even for a stay makne, like by a stay achuzah. Tamalomer michsas, no, michsas by a stay makne. Tell me, we go based on the actual value, not based on the chamishim shekel kesev. And that's that's based on the source of michsas. That's the opinion of the Rabbanim. Come along now, comes along Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Rabbi Eliezer says, Nemar kan v'chishav, says the word chishav by the Kohen, v'nemar by the stay achuz there rather, And it says Nemar Lahalan V'chishav. It says Chishav by Stemakin. It says Chishav by Steachuzah. We have a Gzei Shava Malahalan. Just like later on by the Steachuzah Kotev, there's a set price per area, 50 shekel kesef per area. So Afkan Totu by the Gzei Shava by the Steachuzah, it should be a Davar Kotev, 50 shekel kesef per area. So this is the root of the Machlokas based on learning the Pesukim, whether Steachuzah is also based on the 50 shekel kesef or it's based on Shavya. Gemara asks the question, Ibarilu, they want to understand the position of Rabbanan. Ibarilu Rabbanan, do they islu Gzeir Shava? Do they hold the Gzeir Shava, v'chishav, umafkin lei lechomesh? And they use it to teach me a different din. They use it to teach me that just like by a case of Steachuzah, you pay a chomesh, so too by Steachuzah, you pay a chomesh. But they don't learn it with regards to the halacha of having to pay chamishim shekel kesef, but they embrace such a Gzeir Shava for a particular halacha. Odilmer, perhaps less Gzeir Shava, they don't have a Mesorah of such a Gzeir Shava, but less Luchomesh, and they also don't even learn the din of a Chomesh when it comes to a Stemakna. That was the Kasha, that's the question of the Gemara. The Gemara explained, Amar Rava, that Nistavra less Gzeir Shava. It makes sense that they didn't have such a Gzeir Shava. Midigali Rachmana, from the fact that the Torah tells me Chomesh in two places, it's Chomesh, the Gabe Steachusa. And the Gabi Maktish Beso, when a guy's Maktish's house, it says a Chomesh as well by a Steachuzah, tells us, Havaluhu Shnei Chsumim Bam Kechad. When the Torah tells us a detail, only in two places we have a din, Mechol Shnei Chsumim Bam Kechad, Eim Lamda, we don't teach it elsewhere. So therefore, seemingly, we shouldn't teach this elsewhere, we shouldn't teach this to a Ste Makna either. So the Man Damar Melamdin, the one who holds that you actually can taka teach it elsewhere. So they would say, Midigal Rachmana, Chomesh b'meiser and b'behema tahora b'behema tamea. All these different areas when you're makdish when it comes to meiser, when you don't redeem it, and you're makdish an animal, you do chomesh. There's so many places where it mentions it. Havlei too, but there's so many places. Once it comes to that, a malamdin, then we say not. I mean, even the one who says shnei ksum bam keachad, you can be malamdin. Once it gets to 3, 4, 5, 6 times, where the Torah has to go out of the way to mention it so many times, tells us only where it's mentioned you play chomesh. Anywhere it's not mentioned, you don't pay Chomesh, and therefore it's more sensible to say that Chomesh does not apply to a case of Stemakna, which would mean that the Gezer Shava does not exist in the world of the Rabban. The Gemara says, Tani Kavasa de Rava v'lo metayma. There is a brice that supports his psak, the psak of Rava, but not the reasoning of psak. The psak was that Chomesh doesn't apply to Stemakna, but the reasoning is different. So what's the Braisa? Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, it says, "B'michsas ha'erkecha," the sum of the assessment. Hik ishu ha'kasa le'erchen. The pasuk connects sistemakne to that of a case of a regular erchen case. So my erchen ain't most of chomesh when it comes to a guy who pays erchen. A guy wants to pay erchen of a certain person, erchen of myself, erchen of someone else, there's no chomesh you pay there. So just like a classic erchen, there's no chomesh, so too by connection to stemakne, there's no chomesh either. Af stemakne ain't most of chomesh. So we see it's the same din as Rava, but it's a very different reasoning. Gemara now says Vayter in the Mishnah, because the Perek had begun, listing a number of halachas that we say the halachas across the board, bein lahachmer, bein lahakel. So now we're going on to different topics along this theme. It says, Beshur ha-muad shehemis is ha-eved lahakel u-lahachmer. Shur muad, my animal, let's say, it's trained to kill, or a trained to destroy and damage. If it kills an eved kanani, the din is, it's bein lahakel, bein lahachmer. The din in the Torah, you pay shloshim shekel kesef. You pay 30 shekel kesef when a my shur kills an eved kanani. And that's a chumr and that's a kula. Whether or not this Eved was a very handsome, strong, valuable Eved, and as a car, whether he's an ugly, incapable, weak Eved, regardless of his actual market value, doesn't make a difference. Nosim shloshim sela, you pay 30 sela, which sometimes could be a chumra and sometimes could be a kula. Hahemis ben choron, however, if the shore kills a person who's a free person, knows in Shavu, then you pay the actual value of that person that was killed. And Chavel, Bezel, let's say the Shur fights with the Eved, he fights with the Ben Chorin, Nosein Nezek Shalom, then he doesn't kill, he just causes damage. In this case, the owner would have to pay the Nezek Shalom of what he had caused damage to the person, Ben Chorin, Ben Eved Kanani. The Gemara now says, Bimuad in Bitam Lo. So this halach is only true of Shur Muad. The Shur Muad who kills, who damages the last line of the Mishnah, he pays a Nezek Shalom. But a Tam, we know a Tam, animal that's a Shur Tam only pays half, only Chati Nezek, that case would not be the case. Who is this like? Lema Masisin Delo Rabbi Akiva. Must be the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is a Chiddush by a Shur Tam. And everyone agrees that a shur tam that damages another shur, you only pay chati netek. But there's a question, if a shur tam damages an adam, there's a machlokas. Would you still pay chati netek by adam, or would you pay shalim rather? So Gemara says, the tam, the Mishnah tells us in Baba Kama, daf lamed gimel, Rebbe Kiva Omer, af tam shechavah ba'adam, mishalim b'mosar, netek shalim. So we have to calculate who caused more damage to each other. If the person caused more damage to the shur, so there's no payment. But if the shur caused more damage to the Adam, so you first have to kind of neutralize the differences, and whatever surplus, more damage was caused by the Shur, that difference you have to pay the full amount, Nezek Shalom. That's against our Mishnah. The Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva could still work well with the Mishnah. Hu Adin Afilu Tam Nami. Even a Tam would pay a Shur, pay Nezek Shalom. How come our Mishnah only mentions a Shur Muad and not a Shur Tam then? The Ardi, the Kabbai, the Mishnah Seifa, Himis Evid, Himis Ben Chorin, since the, should really be the Reisha, but since the Reisha had to mention Shur Muad that kills an Eved Kanani, that kills a Ben Chorin, did Ben Muad who's a Mishkachza, this is only true, these dinim is only true of a Shur Muad, but Tam lo Mishkachza, by a Shur Tam, however, the din wouldn't be this case, so therefore, Mishim Hachi, Katani Muad, therefore the Sefer also taught a case of a Shur Muad. But in a Chanam, even a Shur Tam would have to pay, the owner would have to pay Nezek Shalom.
They're
safe for the Reisha, right. Fine. So then the Mishnah says, "But onus mefate lahakel." Well, hachman the din of onus mefate. So a person's onus a girl. He's a mefate girl. He has to pay a certain amount of money. So that amount of money is a set price. Bein lahakel, bein lahachmer. Case and house is true. Echad shanas ufitas gedola shibakuna. Whether or not there was a chashu family, the value was much greater. The embarrassment was much worse. Or whether it's a katana shibisrael or a very young, weak girl from a very humble family. Regardless of the value, no sin hamishim shlam. You pay 50 shlam regardless to the father of the nara. And haboshis vapagam, the embarrassment and the how do you define makamir, the depreciation of the girl, hakol fi amivai shom esbayish, that goes based on the particular situation, how embarrassed the girl might be, and who was doing it to her. So that is based, that's subjective. But the first part is the penalty of the 50 shekel is the same across the board. Gemara now says vayter. It says amai. Why is this the case here? Ema chamishim shloim amar rachmana mikol mile. So why did they pay, in addition to the 50 slime to the onus mefate case, why are you also paying the boshes, the pagam? You should pay. The pasuk says, chamishim slime, that should be everything. That's mikol mile. Doesn't that sound like the whole amount of payment? So Gemara says, Amar Rav Zeira explains, Yomru bal bas melachim chamishim bal bas hidyotos slime. Are you going to explain that the same level of embarrassment is going to be the case of a princess versus a regular girl? Certainly not. And therefore, you have to pay. There must be some additional payment here that the Torah is not mentioning to us, that the Chacham figured out. In addition to the 50 shkalim of penalty, there's also the boshes and the pagan that goes along with this. So Gemara says, Amr Lei, Abai says, that doesn't make sense. Because if that's the case, Gabi Eved Nami, you should say the same thing. Yomu Eved Nokiv Margolis Shloshim Eved Osa Maisa Machet Shloshim. 30, you pay an Eved Kanani who knows how to cut diamonds should be just as valuable as a guy who's busy, you know, sewing, a tailor. Certainly the value is different, and yet the Torah says Shloshim. Here as well, don't be bothered. Whenever the Torah gives you a set penalty, we don't look to other dinim of what the actual value is. So that shouldn't be bothered by the princess versus a regular girl. So El Amr Vizir explains, Ilaba Alashnayim, if two people came, Echad Shlo Kedarka, Echad Kedarka, so if the case were to be where one was violated Kedarka, one was violated Shlo Kedarka, so then Yomer, you're going to say, Baal Paguma, Chamishim, Baal Shalema, Chamishim, a girl who's Kedarka, so now she's no longer a Basula, so now you've really damaged her. A girl who's Shalom Kedarka is not damaged, she's still Shalem. You're going to say 50 Shekel Kesef? So no, certainly not. So there's going to be a difference. Same thing with, that's why there must be additional payment that the Torah's not describing. And he says back, Amalei Abai says, that doesn't make sense either. Because he gave Eved Nami, you're going to say the same thing by an Eved Kanani, Yomu, Eved Bari, Shloshim, Eved Mukam, Shechin, Shloshim. We have the same thing. Eved Kanani, whether the guy's a strong Eved or a weak Eved, we pay Shloshim Shekel. So here as well, by Onus Mefate, regardless of the damage being done, the Torah says 50 Slum, and that should be final. So El Amar Abai says, no, I'll tell you how I know that there's an additional payment on top of the 50 shekel kesef to Avianara. There's also Boshes Bagam. It's a pasuk, it's not a svar. What's a pasuk? It says, Amar Akra, tachas asher ina, underneath the ina, underneath the affliction she goes through, michalat ika poshes upagam, that there's ina, there's other payments that are going to her, which are the embarrassment and the depreciation. So Rav Amar Rava agrees to the din. He just says a different source. Damar Kra, the Pasuk says, "V'nasa na'ish ha'shochev ima ha'nashchiva chamishim." Only the hanashchiva does he pay 50 for, but implies that there's something else that's not being described here. Michlal de'ika milsa achrisa, which is namely ma'niu boshes u pagam. Okay, we will stop here. And tomorrow I'm not around. I have a bris.